Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, October 18th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Former President Bush helps open First Tee, West Texas. George W., former First Lady Laura Bush, golfing legend Ben Crenshaw, Gatlin Brothers, among those at Fairways for the Future fundraiser. By Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Former President George W. Bush and former First Lady Laura Bush returned to Midland on Tuesday to help celebrate the opening of the First Tee West Texas facility on a gorgeous West Texas afternoon. The former president paid tribute to the program leader Tony Farish, his friend Billy Munn, whose work made the facility possible, and legendary golfer Ben Crenshaw, who helped design the acreage and was in Midland to also celebrate First Tee West Texas. The event at the former Masters Golf Range, a fundraiser celebration of years of work, included a clinic from Crenshaw, a two-time Masters champion and one of the great putters the game of golf has ever known. The specific location is northwest of the intersection at Loop 250 and Big Spring Street, 500 West Loop 250 North. Midland ISD donated the property adjacent to the Boneyard, which is home to Midland High softball and practice soccer fields. The sky is the limit for our First Tee chapter, a debt-free organization, Farish said proudly. The fundraiser, Fairways for the Future, also included an evening event at Schaap Center with the Gatlin Brothers concert and presentation by Crenshaw and the former president. The First Tee is an unbelievably effective program, said Bush, who coincidentally is the honorary chairman of the organization, that enables kids to build the strength of character that empowers them through a lifetime of new challenges. I truly believe it's saving lives, the former president and Midlander added. Bush added the generosity shown by those in attendance, which included Don Evans, Javed Anwar, and Cody Campbell, made him think about three things. First of all, it's all about the kids of the Permian Basin. No telling what kind of character will be developed out here and who will become the future leaders. Probably people in the First Tee program for sure. And so I want to thank you for supporting the youth in Midland. I presume you accept people from Odessa over here too, Bush joked at the end. Secondly, I want to honor golf. It is an unbelievably important sport because it is one based on honesty and integrity. It's a game in which you can't blame somebody else for your problems. It's a game that requires focus and practice. It's a hell of a game. It's produced some of the great people in our country, including the great Ben Crenshaw. Finally, Laura and I are here to honor our buddy Billy Munn. Here we are opening this unbelievable facility. I've been to quite a few First Tee program facilities. And Billy, this is one of the best in the country, thanks to your vision and your hard work. Billy shows what somebody with drive and heart can do. Bush reminded those in attendance that cities like Midland are better off when people serve their community. And if a person couldn't serve an organization like First Tee West Texas, serve somebody else. First Tee West Texas Notables. The facility includes a five-hole course, driving range, short game practice area, and putting green. Signage, shows the design team included Ben Crenshaw, Jimbo Wright, and Jeff Bradley. The clubhouse project at the First Tee West Texas was made possible by donations from Scarborough and Double Eagle Foundations. Construction funding was made possible, according to another sign, by Lynn Munn, James Grip, Will Penland, Beau Badu, Don Evans, Ronald Christ, Tom Williams, Jay Johnson, and former President George W. Bush. The website is firsttwesttexas.org. This article is entitled 14-year-old legacy freshman student introduces former President Bush by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Jacek Madrid is like most 14-year-old golfers in Midland. His favorite golfer is Tiger Woods, and he plans to use the new First Tee West Texas facilities, which are located northwest of the intersection of Loop 250 and Big Spring Street. But, unlike every other Midlander, 14 years of age and otherwise, the ninth grader at Legacy Freshman High School had the honor of introducing famed Midland son and the 43rd President of the United States, George W. Bush. "It was amazing," Madrid said. "I came in here being nervous, obviously because it's a former president, but he was really nice. He assured me and I felt calm. So when I went up there, I think I did pretty good." Former President Bush thought so, giving Madrid a compliment before starting his remarks at the ceremony at the First Tee West Texas facility. Madrid said he had known about the introduction ever since his mother gave him the news. "I was out of my mind," Madrid said. "I didn't know what was happening. I didn't think it was for real at first. But as soon as I started hearing more information, it was amazing. I was just trying to get ready for the moment." Madrid said his friends didn't believe him. "After all, who gets to meet the former President of the United States, much less introduce him to an elite crowd of Midlanders on hand?" "I told them I will come back with pictures and prove you wrong," Madrid said. Madrid said the First Tee facility is meaningful to him because a person, even a 14-year-old, not only learns about golf, but also about the qualities needed to deal with real-life, real-world problems. This article is entitled "Bonham Principal Leaves Midland for Fort Worth ISD" by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Armando Gallegos is no longer the principal at Bonham Elementary. Instead, he has joined the former Midland ISD crew at Fort Worth ISD. Gallegos became the principal in July 2022 after the previous principal, Tricia Terran, was promoted to a position with the Learning, Leading, and Innovation team. Terran is now the executive director of school leadership. The Bonham principal received an opportunity to advance their career in another district, the district reported on Tuesday. A job notice for the Bonham principal position was posted on Midland ISD's website on September 28th. Midland ISD's compensation manual states an elementary school principal makes between $93,297 and $128,838. Gallegos is the new principal at O.D. Wyatt High School in Fort Worth, according to a message on X, formerly Twitter. Former Midland ISD Superintendent Angelica Ramsey, now the superintendent at Fort Worth ISD, has hired at least 10 former Midland ISD officials. This article is entitled "Century Graphics and Sign Serves Oilfield Community" by Ben Schaffer, staff writer. Century Graphics and Sign has been serving the oil and gas industry for more than 30 years. When Century was founded, according to Heidi Westbrook, who's in sales and marketing, the company created oil field signs for local businesses. Since then, it has expanded into creating custom promotional items, branded apparel, and whatever its partners need. Although the manufacturer of signage and graphics products has expanded into working with businesses in other sectors, around 80% of its partners remain oil and gas companies, Westbrook said. Century Graphics and Sign developed relationships with oil companies through signs in the early days. Once they established these relationships, requests for custom company-specific magnets, apparel, and promotional items began to pour in, and the company gradually developed into that space. According to Westbrook, their top-selling items are their custom hats and apparel, as well as lease signs. Century's involvement in the oil field is wide-ranging. On top of branded apparel, hats, and promotional items, they continue to produce safety equipment like flame-resistant wear, hard hats, and hard hat decals. They also create car wraps for oil companies' fleet trucks. Westbrook discussed the Permian Basin International Oil Show, where Century has a booth, and talked about its impact for oil and gas-related companies. We have sales reps that are assigned to certain areas in the Permian Basin and Delaware and throughout Texas, Westbrook said. And those that do business with them as a company, we get to meet them while they're visiting. It just provides a better opportunity to reach out and connect with those that we don't have the opportunity to normally. In addition to networking, Westbrook said the Biennial Oil Show allows Century to display the apparel side of their company and make their abilities more widely known. A lot of companies come by and look at our apparel, which they don't usually have that opportunity when they're ordering all the signs, she said. This is a bonus to introduce another side of our company when they do all the signage with us. Century's time and experience in Midland, customer service, and genuine relationships with their oil and gas partners set them apart from other similar companies, Westbrook said. This is the Dear Abby column. Wife's puzzling behavior is an obstacle for couple. Dear Abby, I'm a lesbian. My wife and I have been married for 9 years. But since COVID and my mother's death, we have had problems. I met a man online. He's an actor. We grew close via the internet. When my wife found out, we fought. And this man and I haven't been as close. Although we mended our relationship, and I love her, I always seem to wonder. About a year ago, I got hit on by another actor on Instagram, and we also grew close until my wife found out. I stopped, but I still maintain contact with these men, and I'm not sure why. I wonder if I'm happy with my wife, or if it would be better with someone else. I wonder if I'm staying with her for love or for comfort. I'm not sure. I keep questioning my identity and my life. Any advice? Signed, Lacking Certainty in California. Dear Lacking Certainty, if you were getting everything you need from your marriage, you wouldn't be wondering and reaching out to members of the opposite sex. It is important for you and your wife that you find the answers to your very important questions. Because you are unsure about the depth of your commitment to your wife, as well as your identity, your next step should be to discuss this with a licensed mental health professional. Your doctor or health insurance company can refer you to someone who is qualified. Your local LGBTQ community center may also be able to help. Please, don't wait. Dear Abby, a family friend, Simone, makes the time we spend together unbearable. She's married to my husband's best friend, Earl. We see them often and spend many holidays together. Before Earl married Simone, we thought she was a pretty normal person and a great match for him. Over time, we have come to realize that she's anything but. Simone is loud and dramatic, and she loves to be the center of attention. One example. One day, she sat down in a chair and immediately started to panic that she could not get out of the chair due to her size. She's overweight. My husband and other friends were taken aback because it was visibly clear that she wasn't stuck. She demanded that someone help her get up, and it was embarrassing to watch. Also, if she doesn't get her way, she resorts to talking like a baby or making a scene. She constantly complains about being sick. It happens every time she isn't the center of attention. My husband and I and another couple are getting fed up being around her. My husband has been best friends with Earl since they were kids. So this is a tough situation. I'd love some advice. Signed, Hard to Bear in the South. Dear Hard to Bear, not all friendships last forever. The solution to your problem may be as simple as making yourself less available. Because your husband is on the same page as you and the other couple, it shouldn't be too hard to start seeing Earl and Simone less often. When the men want to get together, they can do it without you. Try it, and it may bring you some relief. You can contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. This article is entitled, Oil Leaders Like Anwar Pioneer Group Now Funding Trump's Rivals, by Jennifer A. DeLuey, Bloomberg. Oil industry leaders contributed top dollar to President Donald Trump in 2020. But now, oil and gas titans are underwriting his GOP rivals instead. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley were the biggest beneficiaries of donations from oil and gas representatives in the third quarter, according to a Bloomberg review of new campaign finance disclosures filed with the Federal Election Commission. Both Republicans have done fundraising tours through the oil patch, with DeSantis even going so far as to unveil his energy policy platform in front of a drilling rig in Midland last month. And while some notable leaders have cut checks to Trump's main presidential campaign committee, including Continental Resources Corporation founder Harold Hamm and offshore supply veteran Larry Rigdon, others are steering clear. Take, for instance, Jeff Hildebrandt, chief executive officer of Hillcorp Energy Company, and his wife Melinda Hildebrandt, who have showered much of the Republican field with cash this year. Together, they sent $3,300 to North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, $3,300 to Haley, $3,300 to DeSantis, and in late July, $6,600 to former Vice President Mike Pence, and $3,300 to South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, disclosures show. In the White House, Trump was an enthusiastic supporter of the oil and gas industry, who championed domestic production and stripped away federal regulations he said were standing in the way. But Trump's unpredictability, for instance issuing surprise decrees blocking offshore oil leasing near the southeastern U.S. in the weeks before the 2020 election, poses a hefty challenge to energy companies making investment decisions that can take decades to pay off. candidates vying for the Republican presidential nomination endorse broadly similar energy and environmental policies. While contributions are lopsided now, donors generally coalesce behind nominees once they are chosen or appear to be a lock. In the third quarter, DeSantis and Haley outraised other GOP presidential candidates, based on a sampling of oil industry and Permian-focused donors. Donations to presidential campaign committees are capped at $3,300 per candidate per election, and $6,600 for both the primary and the general contest. Here's a breakdown of some notable industry donations this year. Nikki Haley. Haley has picked up financial support from a swath of oil executives with ties to the prolific Permian Basin that stretches across the Texas-New Mexico border. That includes $6,600 from Saeed Javed Anwar, the founder and chief executive officer of Midland Energy, Inc., and $3,300 from Ben Bud Brigham, who founded a string of exploration companies and oil field logistics provider Atlas Energy Solutions. Executives of Pioneer Natural Resources Company, the Permian powerhouse ExxonMobil Corporation is buying for $60 billion, also have sent money to Haley, with $3,300 each from President Rich Dealey and Executive Vice President Mark Berg, as well as $6,600 from CEO Scott Sheffield in the second quarter. Sheffield's son, Brian Sheffield, the founder of Parsley Energy, Inc., and his wife, Cheryl Sheffield, together donated $13,200. Enterprise Products Partners leaders also threw their support behind Haley, with co-CEO Jim Teague giving $6,600 in March, and co-CEO Randy Fowler contributing $3,300 in September. Other notable Haley donors include Tucker Bridwell, an oil industry veteran and former board member for Concho Resources, Inc., Ram Energy Resources, Inc., PetroHawk Energy Corporation, and other firms, $6,600. Richard Kinder, chairman of Kinder Morgan, Inc., and his wife Nancy Kinder, $6,600. Trevor Reese-Jones, president of Chief Oil and Gas, LLC, and founder of Reeves-Jones Oil and Minerals, $6,600. Ray Hunt, with Hunt Oil, Inc., $6,600. Hunter Hunt, with Hunt Consolidated, Inc., $6,600. Ron DeSantis. DeSantis wooed prominent Texans in September and has lured oil patch donations, including $3,300 each from Alan Bloxham, president of Fort Apache Energy, Inc., Jonathan Barrett, chairman of the board of Battalion Oil Corporation, and Ken Waits, CEO of Mewbourn Oil Company. Kelsey Warren, the chairman of pipeline operator Energy Transfer LP, and his wife Amy Warren, together contributed $13,200. By contrast, in 2020, Kelsey Warren backed Trump by giving $10 million to America First Action, a super political action committee, and $1 million to Trump Victory, which divided money between the former president's campaign, the Republican National Committee, and state parties. At the time, Amy Warren sent $1.1 million to Trump Victory. Super PACs, which work independently of campaigns, can accept unlimited donations. Other notable DeSantis donors: Canary LLC CEO Dan Eberhardt gave $6,600, while his brother Jacob Eberhardt and sister-in-law Kelly Eberhardt each contributed $3,300 during the third quarter. Alan Smith, CEO, Rockcliff Energy, $1,000. John Garrett, with Fair Oil Company, $3,300. Donald Trump. One of Trump's biggest oil industry supporters historically has been Ham, the billionaire and Continental Resources founder who's donated $769,400 to Trump victory since 2016. Ham also played an unofficial role as an energy advisor to Trump on the campaign trail in 2016 and spoke at the 2016 Republican National Convention. But earlier this year, Ham was instead contributing to other Republican contenders, with DeSantis and Haley each receiving $6,600. Ham said he didn't believe Trump could win the White House in 2024. Ham pivoted on August 22nd when he sent $3,300 to Trump's campaign. Asked about the contribution, spokeswoman Kristen Thomas said only that Mr. Ham has consistently said that he will support anyone he believes will make a good president. This article is entitled Oil Show Exhibitors Tout Benefits for the Environment by Mella McEwen, Oil Editor. Odessa. Many of the companies exhibiting at the Permian Basin International Oil Show are highlighting the environmental benefits of their equipment. Bo Guevara with Cimarron Energy said venting of natural gases has become highly objectionable after passage of the Clean Air Act and rising concerns about the impact of greenhouse gases on the climate. There are two ways to address the issue: recover the gases with vapor recovery units, or to ensure combustors are effective in burning natural gas if there are no sales lines available. Every molecule we can sell is money, he said. Industry leadership is recognizing where the industry is going, where the government is going, and it's up to us to develop solutions that monitor and address fugitive emissions, Guevara said. The biggest challenge has been the ability to pinpoint leaks. His company has technology that helps pinpoint where equipment is leaking, Guevara said. Even in places not monitored, the technology can tell a technician where to go instead of the technician spending time trying to find the leak. Cimarron is introducing a new technology it calls DreamAx, a smart controller that can take high-pressure and low-pressure streams and calculate how much air is needed for complete combustion. With last year's Inflation Reduction Act, including a methane fee that takes effect next year, Guevara said making sure clients are in compliance and not subject to the fee is good economics. If a company has to pay a fine, they pass that on to the client base, he explained. This way helps maintain the lower cost of energy. Dragon Products is exhibiting new surge vessels, one horizontal, one vertical, that are able to keep the natural gas and fluid stream under pressure longer, alleviating the need for as many lower pressure tanks on location, according to Shannon Thompson. Where all the oil and gas has been produced and captured, instead of 10 tanks with the potential for emissions, you have one vessel with less chance for emissions, he said. His company was also displaying a 4,000-horsepower dual-fuel frac pump and a 4-megawatt turbine that uses associated gas. Van Zandt Controls, Eagle Automation, was exhibiting an automated choke, one for produced water and one for oil and gas, as distributor for Masterflow. Traditionally, wellheads have had manual chokes, said Lance Van Zandt, company founder. Automated chokes can look for variables, such as pressure changes, flaring, or tank levels, and make adjustments to mitigate flaring ensure tanks are not overflowing or lines aren't overpressured. Masterflow has perfected the design, said Van Zandt, saying the chokes can handle difficult environments like sand or rocks without chokes having to be changed out multiple times a day. Don Maness, chief executive officer, also touted the company's recent acquisition of Commercial Radio, a distributor of industrial communications products. Homes are changing with the internet, he said, as are all the devices in the oil field. They send data from drilling rigs to the wellhead, from batteries to gas compression plants, with the radio towers the company is now able to install in remote areas without access to the internet or other communications equipment. With the towers, we can send data and control equipment, Maness said, thus reducing emissions and unsafe conditions by alerting operators and technicians more quickly. This section is the Oil Show Report. This article is entitled PBIOS Opens Its Doors, Celebrates an Innovative Industry by Mella McEwen, Oil Editor. Odessa. Under clear skies and mild temperatures, officials celebrated the opening of the Permian Basin International Oil Show, billed the Working Man's Oil Show, since the first exposition in 1940. I am so excited about the show, said Larry Richards, 2023 Permian Basin International Oil Show president. For the last several years, the Permian Basin has been the center for oil and gas innovation. The top 10% of innovations in the industry happened within 150 miles of this location. Richards saluted Dick Seavalls, this year's oil show honoree, and someone who has had an amazing impact not only on the industry, but the community in his career. It's a pleasure and an honor to be the honoree this year, Seavalls said, noting that his company, Seavalls Inc., has been in Odessa 75 years. He himself is the third generation to run the company that was founded by his grandfather in 1900. I think of all the people who worked for me before and now, who helped make the company and make it a star of the oil and gas industry in the Permian Basin, Seavalls concluded. Richards encouraged attendees to go put your hands on the equipment, ask questions about the latest in technology. We're extremely proud of the legacy and history of the show as the Working Man's Show. Men and women across the country put their boots on and roll up their sleeves, often leaving home in the dark and often returning in the dark, to give us the quality of life our grandparents couldn't have dreamed of, Richards said. For State Senator Kevin Sparks, the oil show should be a way for the world to understand we're concerned about the environment as well. But we know hydrocarbons, so let us flourish. Not only has technology allowed the industry to produce significantly more oil and natural gas, but has allowed that oil and natural gas to be produced more efficiently and in a more environmentally responsible manner. Sparks said that as a 40-year industry veteran, he continues to be impressed with the innovations the industry develops. It's been innovation that allows us to continue developing the minerals here, and it will be innovation that will allow us to be competitive on the world stage, he said. This article is entitled Permian Basin International Oil Show Exhibits Show Diverse Range by Mella McEwen, Oil Editor. Odessa. There were a variety of eye-catching exhibits at the Permian Basin International Oil Show. Metal Treatments. E9 Treatments was promoting its series of metal treatments designed to slow the buildup of paraffins, alphatines, and other contaminants that can impact oil and gas flows through meters. Meters are like the cash register of the oil field, said Landon Beckham. If a meter gets gummed up and isn't working, you can imagine that's hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars. The company derives its molecular coatings from the medical field, which uses similar coatings in needles that give vaccines and catheters, among other uses. The coatings don't contain the metal, so are non-corrosive, are non-hazardous, and non-conductive, he said. Making heavy equipment safe. There is a lot of heavy equipment roaming Permian Basin oil fields, and few of them are equipped with backup cameras or sensors. Brigade Electronics is seeking to change that, exhibiting its offerings of camera monitoring systems that eliminate blind spots, mobile digital cameras, white sound alarms that warn pedestrians and workers when a vehicle is on the move, and ultrasonic and radar obstacle detectors. Safety is at the forefront nowadays, said Bill Blair with Brigade. This is something companies can look to protect their equipment and drivers. The systems can cost between $1,000 and $4,000, but Blair pointed out that a lawsuit averages a $140,000 payout. Raising heat safety awareness. In the aftermath of the record summer heat, heat safety was another emphasis for exhibitors. Squincher was displaying its hydration solutions and promoting heat stress management. Electrolytes are needed to sweat, said Grant Maloney. If you're just drinking water all day, you'd still stop sweating. Squincher sells electrolytes in various flavored powders, both in individual servings or in bulk packages for large dispensers. Popsicles are also available. They are sold in industrial supply stores. Benefiting St. Jude's. Super Rod is continuing its tradition of raising funds for a charity, offering a walking stick in return for a donation. At the last oil show, the company raised $22,000 for Combat Marines Outdoors. This time, the company is raising funds for St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, October 18th, 2023. Breast Center, getting your mammogram is time well spent. What can you do in 15 minutes? You can take your dog for a short walk. You can drop your kids off for soccer practice. You can load the washing machine. You can send a work email. What can you do to take care of yourself? What do you still have the energy to do? Have you taken time to do what really matters? Picture yourself at the end of a long day when everyone and everything is settled and you finally have a minute to breathe. The last thing you want to think about is when you were due for your annual mammogram. You think to yourself, can it wait until next month? You were so incredibly busy. Then you remember your family history and decide that you will call in the morning. The next morning comes and you wake up the kids, cook breakfast, make sure your hair and makeup look their best, and out the door you frantically run. After arriving at work, it seems like just 5 minutes have passed when you realize it is time for lunch. You stop to take a short break and think to yourself, don't forget to call after work and schedule my mammogram. Your workday ends and you rush out to pick up the kids, make supper, and drop everyone off at their multiple activities. Next thing you know, it's late and scheduling your mammogram will have to wait until tomorrow. Then you finally remember to call the next morning. You take a quick moment to call so you won't forget. Then you breathe a sigh of relief. Your appointment is finally scheduled. Finally, after work, between cooking and laundry, you stop to write your appointment down on the calendar. Your appointment is on Friday. You remind yourself to ask for a few minutes off from work to get the mammogram done. Now it's Wednesday and you remember to ask for the time off. You are finally set. When Friday comes, you get everyone off to school and work, then head over to the mammogram center. You walk in and are seen quickly and out the door and to work. You are only 30 minutes later than your normal arrival time. You have an overwhelming sense of completeness. Your mammogram is finally done for another year, and you have done something good for yourself. That was 15 minutes well spent. A few days later, your results come in the mail and everything is good. You think to yourself, I'm glad that is done. You were that there are no signs of breast cancer. You were glad you didn't let your busy life get in the way of your health. After all, if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of my loved ones. 1 in 8 women will get breast cancer sometime in their lifetime. As mammographers, the common response from patients as to why they wait to have their mammogram is, I didn't have time. Please take time for yourself. Breast cancer is very treatable and most often curable if caught early. This is a reminder that we are all important to someone. Take care of yourself and do your annual screenings. To help with your busy schedule, the Breast Center at Midland Health is open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday from 8 a.m. to noon. Please take just a minute of your precious time to take care of yourself and call to schedule your mammogram. Our scheduling number is 432-221-2300. Mayo Clinic Minute. Why you and your family need a flu shot. If you haven't had the flu in a few years, there's a reason. As Dr. Napuni Rajapaksi, a pediatric infectious disease physician with the Mayo Clinic Children's Center, shares, all the more reason to ensure you and your family are vaccinated this year. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that everyone 6 months and older get a flu shot and make it a goal to be vaccinated by the end of October. Quote, we know that our population-level immunity to influenza is lower than usual because we've had lower rates during the COVID times, end quote, says Rajapaksi. Public health measures during the pandemic, wearing masks, washing hands, and social distancing, not only helped reduce COVID-19 transmission, but also lowered the spread of the flu. Quote, fewer people have had influenza infection and illness. They don't have the antibodies from that experience. We're all the more dependent on the antibodies from vaccination to protect us in that situation, end quote, she says. Why get a flu shot? Rajapaksi says getting vaccinated is an important way to build immunity and prevent infection. Quote, and so the recommendations still remain that anyone over 6 months of age should get an influenza vaccine this year, end quote, she says. This is especially true of young children, older adults, and those with weakened immune systems who are at higher risk of severe illness due to the flu. Quote, people's protection is going to come from vaccination rather than recent infection, and that makes it all the more important to get the vaccine, end quote, says Rajapaksi. Who should get flu shots? Everyone aged 6 months and older should get a yearly flu vaccine. It's especially important for those at a higher risk of severe flu complications. Those at higher risk of complications from flu include young children under age 2, adults older than age 65, residents of nursing homes and other long-term care facilities, people who are pregnant or plan to be pregnant during flu season, people with weakened immune systems, American Indians or Alaska Natives, people with chronic illnesses such as asthma, heart disease, kidney disease, liver disease, and diabetes. Getting the flu shot has important benefits. It reduces flu cases, doctor visits, missed work, and school days due to flu, and lessens symptom severity, lowering flu-related hospitalizations and deaths. Along with vaccination, practicing good hand hygiene and avoiding people who are ill are ways to prevent transmission and illness. Mayo Clinic Minute. Fall can be painful for those who suffer cluster headaches. Cluster headaches aren't that common, but they are extremely painful, and they often occur during the fall season. A cluster headache is a rare headache disorder that differs from a typical migraine or headache. Less than 1% of the population have cluster headaches, but for those people, it's an intense experience because the headaches come on fast and hit hard. Imagine being woken up abruptly by excruciating head pain that reaches peak intensity in seconds. Quote, then there is 15 to 20 minutes of this pain, which is so severe that patients often cannot sit still. They have to get up, pace around, maybe push on the head or bang things against the head. And then again, it shuts off like a light switch, end quote, explains Dr. Carrie Robertson, a Mayo Clinic neurologist. What Robertson is describing is a cluster headache attack. Quote, for patients who struggle with this, for 6 to 12 weeks, they have multiple headaches per day, maybe 1 to 8 headaches per day, and then, just as abruptly as the cycle started, the cycle will shut off. And they might be headache-free for months, or even a year before another cycle starts, end quote, says Robertson. Many times, cluster headache will occur without a trigger. However, a cluster headache tends to be seasonal. Quote, the fall is one of the seasons that we frequently see patients with their cycles starting, end quote, she says. There's no cure for cluster headaches, but treatments are available to decrease the severity of pain, shorten the headache period, and prevent the attacks. Quote, we've made a lot of progress in the past 10 years, but we're actively pursuing additional treatments on an ongoing basis, end quote, says Robertson. Study examining why breast cancer is deadlier for Black women. Are 3D mammograms better than standard 2D imaging for catching advanced cancers? A clinical trial is recruiting thousands of volunteers, including a large number of Black women who face disparities in breast cancer death rates, to try to find out. People like Carol Stovall, a psychologist in Washington, D.C., have signed up for the study to help answer the question. Quote, we all need a mammogram anyway, so why not do it with a study that allows the scientists to understand more and move closer to finding better treatments and ways of maybe even preventing it, end quote, Stovall said. The underrepresentation of women and minorities in research is a long simmering issue affecting health problems, including Alzheimer's disease, stroke, and COVID-19. Trials without diversity lead to gaps in understanding of how new treatments work for all people. Quote, until we get more Black women into clinical trials, we can't change the science. And we need better science for Black bodies, end quote, said Ricky Fairley, a breast cancer survivor and advocate who is working on the issue. Black women are 40% more likely to die from breast cancer than white women and tend to be diagnosed younger. But it's not clear whether 3D mammography is better for them, said Dr. Warda McCaskill-Stevens of the National Cancer Institute. Quote, are there populations for whom this might be important to have early diagnosis? End quote, asked McCaskill-Stevens. Quote, or is it harmful, causing too many false alarms or unneeded follow-up tests and treatments? End quote. McCaskill-Stevens, who is Black, leads NCI's efforts to boost access to cancer research in minority and rural communities. She has joined the study herself. The newer 3D technique has been around for a decade, but there's never been conclusive evidence that it's better than 2D at detecting advanced cancers. The screening technique combines multiple pictures of the breast taken from different angles to create a 3D-like image. Both 3D and 2D mammograms compress the breast and use low doses of radiation. Prior studies suggest that 3D finds more cancers than 2D, but catching more cancers doesn't necessarily mean more lives saved. Some cancers missed by standard screening may not progress or need treatment. Previous studies did not randomly assign patients to a screening method, the gold standard for research. The notion, quote, that if it's new, it's shiny, then it's better, end quote, isn't necessarily true, McCaskill-Stevens said. Quote, until we have the evidence to support that, then we need well-designed randomized trials, end quote. The trial has enrolled nearly 93,000 women so far, with a goal of 128,000. The NCI-funded study is now running in Canada, South Korea, Peru, Argentina, Italy, and 32 U.S. states. A site in Thailand will soon begin enrolling patients. Quote, we added more international sites to enhance the trial's diversity, particularly for Hispanic and Asian women, end quote, said Dr. Etta Pisano, who leads the study. Overall, 42% of participants are Hispanic. As recruiting continues, enrolling Black women and other women of color will, quote, absolutely, end quote, continue as a priority, Pisano said. Participants are randomly assigned to either 2D or 3D mammograms and are followed for several years. The number of advanced cancers detected by the two methods will be compared. At the U.S. study sites, 21% of study participants are Black women. That's higher than a typical cancer treatment study, in which 9% of participants are Black, McCaskill-Stevens said. The University of North Carolina has signed up more Black women than any other study site. Nearly a quarter of the nearly 3,000 women enrolled at UNC's two locations are Black. Women ages 45 to 74 without a personal history of breast cancer are eligible for the study, which launched in 2017. Many women also are providing blood and cheek swab samples for a database that will be mined for insights. A heart murmur can be innocent or serious. Lub-dub, lub-dub. Those are the words that healthcare professionals often use to mimic the sound of your heartbeat. That steady, regular sound is made by your heart valves opening and closing as blood circulates through your heart. You may have heard the term, quote, heart murmur, end quote. A murmur is an extra heart sound that can be heard by a stethoscope. Sometimes the murmur sounds like a humming, which can be faint or loud. It might be temporary or persistent. Heart murmurs may be present at birth or develop later in life during pregnancy. Phases of rapid growth like adolescence or from a fever or anemia. The murmur may disappear as quickly as it comes if it has a temporary cause. However, a murmur also could be persistent and loud, easily heard and sound like a churning mill wheel or cooing seagull. This might indicate a serious heart problem. What causes a heart murmur? Multiple factors can cause a murmur. It could be a heart valve problem or a hole in the heart. The valves in your heart act as doors between the chambers or rooms of the heart. In the case of a murmur, a valve might be tight or leaky. When heart valves are very tight or narrow, this is called stenosis. A murmur also might be from a leaky valve called regurgitation. A murmur also may occur from high blood flow in people with a fever or with low red blood cells called anemia. Some people have a family history of heart murmur and heart disease. Some are born with a congenital condition causing a murmur. Others have had a recent severe infection or illness that could damage a heart valve and need immediate medical attention. What are the symptoms? Innocent or harmless heart murmurs don't typically cause symptoms and most aren't serious. Symptoms of a serious or worrisome heart murmur depend on the cause and require evaluation by a healthcare professional. These symptoms may include blue or gray lips or fingernails, chest pain, fainting, fever, leg swelling, lingering cough, shortness of breath, sudden weight gain, swollen liver or neck veins, worsening fatigue. How is it diagnosed? It's common for a heart murmur to be detected during a physical exam being given for another reason. If a healthcare professional hears a murmur, you'll be asked questions about your personal and family history that could indicate a reason for the murmur. Several criteria are used to determine if a murmur is innocent or worrisome, including volume. The loudness of the murmur is evaluated on a scale from 1 to 6. The loudest heart murmur is a 6. Location. The location of the murmur in the heart will be identified, along with whether the sound spreads to the neck or back. Pitch. The murmur may be high, medium, or low-pitched. Timing of the murmur. A murmur that occurs when blood leaves the heart is a systolic murmur. A murmur that occurs when the heart fills with blood is called a diastolic murmur. A murmur also may be heard throughout the heartbeat. When the murmur is heard as blood passes through the heart, it may be a sign of a larger heart problem. You will need to undergo testing to determine the cause of the heart murmur. Your healthcare professional will likely order an ultrasound picture of your heart, called an echocardiogram, or echo, to show detailed images of your heart's valves, chambers, structure, and function. Once the cause has been found, some people will need repeated evaluation. Others may need surgery to treat the cause of the murmur, especially if it is to adjust a tight or leaky valve or to close a hole in the heart. In some situations, people may need to take antibiotics before going to a dentist to protect the heart valves from potential infection. This infection, called endocarditis, can be spread via the bloodstream during dental work. It's important to learn if a heart murmur is innocent or serious so you can get the proper treatment. Consumer health. Dehydration. It's more than being thirsty. Water is essential to good health. Every cell, tissue, and organ in your body needs water to work properly. Water is essential for maintaining your body temperature, lubricating and cushioning your joints, and getting rid of waste through urination, perspiration, and bowel movements. Dehydration occurs when you use or lose more fluid than you take in, and your body doesn't have enough water and other fluids to carry out its normal functions. If you don't replace lost fluids, you will get dehydrated. Thirst isn't always a reliable early indicator of the body's need for water. Many people don't feel thirsty until they're already dehydrated. That's why increasing water intake during hot weather or when you're ill is important. Dehydration can lead to serious complications including heat injury, If you don't drink enough fluids when you're exercising vigorously and perspiring heavily, you may end up with a heat injury, ranging in severity from mild heat cramps to heat exhaustion or potentially life-threatening heat stroke. Urinary and kidney problems. Prolonged or repeated bouts of dehydration can cause urinary tract infections, kidney stones, and even kidney failure. Seizures. Electrolytes such as potassium and sodium help carry electrical signals from cell to cell. If your electrolytes are out of balance, the normal electric messages can become mixed up, which can lead to involuntary muscle contractions and sometimes to a loss of consciousness. Low blood volume shock. Hypovolemic shock. This is one of the most serious and sometimes life-threatening complications of dehydration. It occurs when low blood volume causes a drop in blood pressure and a drop in the amount of oxygen in your body. Preventing dehydration. To prevent dehydration, drink plenty of fluids and eat foods high in water, such as fruits and vegetables. For most healthy people, letting thirst be your guide is an adequate daily guideline. Thirst isn't always a reliable indicator of hydration, though, because when you're thirsty, you already could be dehydrated. But how much water do you need to drink every day? It's a simple question with no easy answer. Studies have produced varying recommendations over the years. The amount of water your body needs depends on many factors, including your health, how active you are, and where you live. You don't need to rely only on water to meet your fluid needs. What you eat also provides a significant portion. For example, many fruits and vegetables, such as watermelon and spinach, are almost 100% water by weight. In addition, beverages such as milk, juice, and herbal teas are composed mostly of water. Even caffeinated drinks, such as coffee and soda, can contribute to your daily water intake. But go easy on sugar-sweetened drinks. Regular soda, energy or sports drinks, and other sweet drinks usually contain a lot of added sugar, which may provide more calories than needed. So how much fluid does the average healthy adult living in a temperate climate need? The U.S. National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine determined that an adequate daily fluid intake is about 15.5 cups of fluids a day for men, about 11.5 cups of fluid a day for women. These recommendations cover fluids from water, other beverages, and food. About 20% of daily fluid intake usually comes from food and the rest from drinks. Treatment. The only effective treatment for dehydration is to replace lost fluids and lost electrolytes. The best approach to dehydration treatment depends on your age, the severity of dehydration, and its cause. Most adults with mild to moderate dehydration from diarrhea, vomiting, or fever can improve their condition by drinking more water or other liquids. Diarrhea may be worsened by full-strength fruit juice and soft drinks. If you work or exercise outdoors during hot or humid weather, cool water is your best bet. Sports drinks containing electrolytes and a carbohydrate solution also may be helpful. Children and adults who are severely dehydrated should be treated by emergency personnel arriving in an ambulance or in a hospital emergency room. Salts and fluids delivered intravenously are absorbed quickly and speed recovery. Respiratory health. How to stay healthy during respiratory virus season. Viruses causing most infections are influenza, RSV, and COVID-19. Fall and winter are a time when highly contagious viruses that cause respiratory illness usually circulate heavily in communities. Because many of these viruses can lead to serious infection, hospitalization, and even death, it's crucial to arm yourself with strategies that can help prevent illness and keep you and your loved ones safe. In this Mayo Clinic Minute, Dr. Priya Sampathkumar, an infectious diseases expert, outline some strategies you can use to keep you and your family healthy during respiratory virus season. Quote, each year we have what we call viral respiratory season, where people seem to get colds and some people get worse infections, including pneumonia, end quote, says Sampathkumar. The viruses responsible for causing most infections in the fall and winter are influenza, COVID-19, and respiratory syncytial virus, RSV. One of the best strategies to provide protection against these viruses is vaccination. Annual flu shots are recommended for everyone 6 months and older. Quote, the flu vaccine, as you know, has been around for many, many years and is a very safe vaccine, end quote, says Sampathkumar. Quote, it does do a good job in preventing the most serious complications of flu, which are hospitalization and death, end quote. Updated COVID-19 vaccines are also recommended this year, along with a newly approved RSV vaccine for adults ages 60 and older, with risk factors for RSV, such as weakened immune systems, frailty, or chronic heart or lung disease. Sampath Kumar says, along with getting recommended vaccinations, avoiding crowded areas, considering masking to protect yourself in crowded indoor spaces, and frequent hand washing are other ways to help get you through respiratory virus season. Quote, then, if you do become sick, make sure that at that point, you do wear a mask to protect those around you, staying home and not exposing a lot of people at your workplace or elsewhere, end quote.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.